What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Wednesday morning. Talking a little NFL now, and to help us do that, we bring in friend of the show, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Doing well. How you guys hanging in?
Hanging in. Doing the best we can. Glad to have live sports back, though, to occupy some time during the middle of the day. It's been nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It'll be interesting to see what the NFL looks like if this gets going. I mean, baseball's been really interesting. NBA's been really interesting. And, I still can't imagine. I'm curious if we'll have fans at all in any NFL games. It seems like as every day passes, you know, we get a little bit closer to the no-fan NFL experience. But, I don't know. It's been, in some ways, positive, you know, watching the NBA and MLB without fans, you know, in a weird way, you know, and in some ways, it's kind of what you would expect. The cardboard cutouts are fun now, but I don't know if that's going to last much longer.
Well, Charles, I mean, the NFL, I mean, you've had teams put in, you know, protocols for COVID-19. That have been approved, and then you have situations going on in the MLB. Like the Marlins came out yesterday with Derek Jeter and said, you know, their players were just too lax on protocols and ignored masks, ignored social distancing guidelines. Do you feel like something like that is inevitable to happen in the NFL with just how many people are involved?
You know, the sheer numbers would suggest that, yeah. I mean, there's just too many guys. Organizations have too many people involved, and you know, it's hard to believe that you're going to have the discipline that's necessary for every single, you know, franchise, you know, 32 of their own individual bubbles that, you know, don't just exist, you know, in inside the facility, but then have to be taken home with people. That will never, you know, be penetrated. And I don't think, you know, having spoken to people in different franchises, you know, I think people are optimistic seeing the hurdles that are being put in place for everybody. But I think people are also realistic in, you know, look, when you have your individual who's in basically, the Minnesota Vikings, when you have someone who's in charge of making sure that people don't get, you know, COVID, get COVID, it suggests that, you know, anybody can get it. And, you know, you have head coaches who are getting it. You have players who have gotten it. What we're not hearing, and I've heard a lot of when you talk to different franchises, there are a lot of support staff people that have gotten it or are getting it. And, you know, those aren't announced. We hear all the players. And so we're like, oh, it's not so bad. But, you know, there are a lot of support staff members who have gotten it. And, you know, you just don't get the reporting on that. So it's unlikely that we won't see an outbreak. And we're going to figure out whether or not the protocols that are in place are really going to be worse, I guess, the all the hassle that teams have gone through.
Well, you wrote a piece, Charles, talking to a bunch of NFL employees, different franchises. And I have to say, I'm not that surprised to see one of the points of your piece, which is that coaches have been among the biggest rule benders in here. I don't know why it surprised me, but, you know, it's like if your job is to get a team ready and to win – some of these things are just sort of in direct conflict with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that coaches, so when you would talk to people about why, you know, maybe coaches aren't following everything to the letter of the law once they're inside the facilities, I think it's a number of different things. I think some coaches, you know, one person told me, and, you know, I quoted him, was that, hey, you know, we have some coaches that don't really think this is a real thing. And so they're, and Jack Del Rio, interestingly enough, basically kind of outed himself as one of those guys, you know, being someone who just doesn't appear to believe this is as serious as everyone's, you know, making it out to be. I think some other coaches, I had somebody who described his head coach and it was more sort of, he's impatient, you know, about time. Like he wants everything to, you know, he's got things to do. And if that means like, hey, he's got to walk this certain way or do this or do that, that he feels like is a time waster. And if he's got to go backwards down a hallway to get something done, you know, and it's about getting it done quickly, he's just not going to worry about whether someone's going to see him, you know, going the wrong way or doing, you know, and this was, it was interesting because this person said to me, well, you know, he wears a mask. Like it's not a problem. Like he wears a mask in the facility. It's not that. It's just sort of like, as soon as something comes up where he's like, you know, hey, I got to do this. It's got to be done now. And he's not going to take every last, you know, step he's supposed to take inside the facility. And his attitude is we're in a clean zone. Like we've spent all this time to make sure it's a clean zone. And now I'm inside. We're fine. I'm not going to worry about this. So, it, you know, I think it's different for different franchises. It's probably different for different coaches. But, yeah, it was probably not. It was one of those things where I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. A lot of coaches are typically guys that push the limits of things. I feel like personnel, frankly, I feel like a lot of people who are in personnel tend to be rule followers. Mm-hmm. I feel like coaches are not always the rule followers. They're the ones that are trying to find the workarounds. I mean, Bill Belichick's created an entire career out of that.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us. And Charles, obviously, opt-outs happening throughout the league. The deadline moved to this Thursday. What have been your thoughts on how the opt-outs have gone so far? Has it been as many as you expected, more or less? Just kind of what have you thought about this process of players opting out?
It's been, I don't think it's been as bad as maybe I thought it would be. You know, there were certain individuals, you know, Von Miller was a guy who, I was surprised that given that, you know, he's high risk, he's gone through this before. And you know, I know he gave it serious thought. I was surprised that he decided to play. You know, Cam Hayward's another guy who, you know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers who, you know, has an asthmatic condition that puts him high risk. He's going to play, you know, and I think he was another guy who really considered for a while whether or not it was something he wanted to do. I think it's been interesting to see there have been, you know, some high-profile guys who are doing it, some that, you know, you would question whether or not they would make rosters. You know, everyone's got their own individual decisions. I don't see a ton of criticism for any guys that are doing it. I think everyone's recognizing that it's a personal decision and, you know, people all have their reasons. I do think it's interesting that the deadline stretched out. I think it's going to ultimately end up being like they had 13 days by the time the opt-out, the Thursday deadline finally comes. Whereas initially when this was all kind of cooked up between the union and the league, it was only supposed to be 7 because they were supposed to ratify the agreement right away. And it was basically going to give players a week. I think that extra 6 days has given guys an opportunity to not only see who else is opting out, but go into facilities, sort of measure a little bit, like, how do I feel? You know, what do I think about this? Am I okay with this? Or does this feel like, you know, it's not going to work for me? I think we could still have, maybe as that final 24 hours approach, I think there could be a little spate of guys where at the last minute, some guys make a decision and pull themselves out.
Well, locally, Charles, Vic Beasley has not reported for the Titans, you know, really the primary free agent signing of the offseason for a team that really needs more pass rush.
Right.
So however that works out, I am still firmly in the camp of they should be doing everything possible to get Jadeveon Clowney. You're in Houston. He's in Houston. So I know you have this exact answer for us. What is his price tag right now?
Well, it's a good question because he supposedly adjusted his price tag down, and I think it's a sliding scale for him. So, for example, you know, when the Cleveland Browns chased after him, there were multiple options on the table for him, and the numbers were, you know, I think it got near like $19 million, you know, for a 1 year. You know, I think there was a multi-year option there for him. As time went, I think Cleveland was like, look, let's, if you just, it seemed to them like he just wanted to do a 1 year deal, didn't want to lock himself in, you know, long-term again, and, or at least with the Browns, he didn't, and they could just never get it done now. So I'm like, okay, well, that's his number. It's like, it looks like it's, you know, above $19 million because he's not signing with Cleveland. But I do think that there was some extenuating things there. And, you know, I think it was his family. I think it was like, did he feel like this was the organization where he wanted to go and play? And then when you would hear what his list was, you know, in terms of the teams where he wanted to go, it was, you know, the Saints, the Titans, you know, the Seahawks. It was all teams that were going to be in the mix as, I think, contenders. And so I think, you know, to me, is there a chance that he ends up taking, say, you know, $15 million to play for a team like the Titans? Yeah, I think that's more realistic for the Titans than it would have been for the Browns, because I think there's less guarantees that there's success there. And again, Mike Vrabel, I think there are aspects of the Tennessee Titans that are far more, it's just more attractive to him, that franchise. And so I do think he would take a more limited deal, but I don't think it'll be, I believe if it's nowhere near, you know, $18-19 million, he's not taking a multi-year deal. It's absolutely going to be a 1 year deal. But hey, we're here, and no team, and I've talked to multiple teams that were in this race, not one of them thinks that he's close to signing. They seem to think it's going to be more toward the end of training camp, if and when that does happen.
So do you think that's just basically just because he has no interest in camp, or because maybe there's a situation that arises where a team that does attract him loses someone and now all of a sudden he has more leverage?
I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. I think that if you dial it back a few months, you know, people in his camp were like, he's going to wait because he believes that something will develop, you know, that there will be an urgency that develops for him, and that will help in terms of his price with a team, that someone's going to have a need and the money, and they're going to go, you know what, let's just do it. Like, this could be something that gets us over the top, and that way he gets closer to the $20 million he's looking for. But I also think now, you know, having gone back and asked some teams, like, why are we still waiting here? You know, some teams would just like to get him in for a physical, can't even do that. And that is something that's on the table now. I mean, teams could get him in for a physical if he would come in and take a physical. You know, now it's sort of, I've had a couple of teams that were like, look at last year. You know, he didn't report until August 31st last year once the trade went down with Seattle. He was fine. He was in great physical shape. You know, clearly didn't feel like he needed to be in there to be able to play, you know, at a high level. So that's sort of the thought process now. And then given everything else, you know, that's, we're in the middle of the, you know, the pandemic, and, you know, why would you expose yourself? So maybe that plays into it as well. So, you know, I think it's a multitude of things, but it's been frustrating for all these teams that have been involved with them. And I kind of tweeted, you know, when Mike had that reaction to a Jadeveon Clowney question where he dropped his head, I'm like, man, that is exactly how, when you talk to people involved in this, and it's been going on for months, it's like a sigh, or just like, my God, like, really, we're going to, like the Jets. It's hilarious. The Jets keep coming up because you want to talk about a franchise that's been annoyed with Jadeveon Clowney questions. It's been the Jets, because from the start, the Jets have not been in that race. They were just like, there's no way. When they heard the number, they weren't in it, and yet they would constantly come up in these conversations about Clowney. And when I would talk to people at the Jets, they're like, why? Why do we keep coming up? Please stop saying us. We're not signing that guy. And it would drive them nuts. And, you know, it just – Cleveland having gone through that whole thing, it was like the Mike Vrabel reaction, just a sigh and like, yeah, look, man, we don't want to talk about this anymore. We talk about it if he was in. He's not in. Let's all move on.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Charles, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it as always. Great stuff.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Stay safe, guys. All right.
You too, bud.
When we come back, John Tortorella reacted to the Blue Jackets loss last night in a way that only John Tortorella can. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.